girls just sang about being blessed. This is what this psalm is about. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can come to this passage and, Lord, once again, see what you deem as successful and, Lord, how we should put our efforts in life towards. God, I pray that we would make personal application and help us with this passage. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have liberty here tonight, that there'd be no distraction, both physically and or maybe within with our own heart and mind. God, I pray again that you just bless all that is said and done. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Psalm chapter 1 would probably be a familiar psalm. Maybe you've memorized it. Maybe you've even spent some time in studying it. It tells us of two ways. It tells us of a blessed way and the opposite. The Bible says in verse 4, it gives us the alternative. There's a blessing, and then there's the ungodly way, right? Two ways. And the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Hey, don't listen to what the world has to say. It's got no help for you. It says this, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." This does not mean, that we are not evangelistic. We do not withdraw our faith and say, "God, if you want that person to be saved, you'll work in their life." And certainly God is drawing all men to him, but he does use us. This doesn't mean, "Well, I can't go talk to sinners." No, this means that we don't stand with. We don't sit with. That means a bond is made. We got to be careful with that. Certainly we want to try and win the lost, but be careful. More times than not, what ends up happening is evil communications corrupt good manners. And we do have to be careful with that. And it tells us that in verse 2 it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Here we get back to the Word of God. The blessed man's delight is not in houses or vacations or all those things, although they are nice. But the blessed man, what is his delight? The Bible says, "In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Here we see a person who has a spiritual connection with God. Thinks about those things, both day and night. What is he awake to be thinking about? Spiritual things. What does he pillow his head as he thinks about? Spiritual things. And the Bible says this about him, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." The blessed man. The blessed man is like a tree planted. That man was planted. We started our little garden approximately this big. You can step across our garden, right? That's pretty close. And we're excited about our garden. We got a pepper plant, a tomato plant, a couple cucumber plants, and we put those things in specific places. We planted things where we wanted them. Do you understand that your life is not a subject of chance? That God placed you where he wants you? You are not a wild tree. No, the blessed man is placed where the husbandman wanted him or her to grow. There are things that are beyond your control. The place and the fact that you have been born. You had no control over that. You did not get to choose. There's a lot of things you can choose in this life, but your parents are not one of them. Nor where you will be born. That's not an option. And God said, "All right, this soul is going to be planted right here." Oftentimes we look at other people's lives and compare and say, oh, I wish I would, or I wish I could be, or I wish they were. And, oh, let's not forget that God has planted a tree. He looked out through all this whole entire world, Ben, and he says, you belong to her. And that's where he put you. And it is our job, wherever we've been planted, Isaiah, to grow. And this is God's plan. If God wanted you to be born in India, do you know where you would have been born? That's true. But he wanted you here for this moment to these two individuals in this circumstance. And he said, Isaiah, I put you here. And he has an expectation for all of us. He expects us to grow. The man was planted. It was not by chance. It was not by accident. It was deliberate, specific, with an intention. We planted cucumber plants with an intention for them to grow. I took 2x4s and I built a piece of lattice in between them. So we want the cucumber plants to grow up the lattice so it doesn't take up all of our garden. You understand our problem. Specific, designed, placed on purpose. The God that knows all placed you where you're at on purpose with an expectation. There are also circumstances that the Lord has allowed you to happen around you to help mold you into who you are today. Again, things that are out of our control. We talked about it this morning. Sometimes we make decisions that are just bad decisions. And we are subject to those decisions, the consequences of that. But if there are circumstances that happen around us that are completely out of your control, yet that God has allowed, that he still, even though you've been planted, does expect you to grow and do right in those situations. Never is there a situation where he will license or give liberty to, oh, it's okay if you don't walk in the way of righteousness because of your circumstances. That is never his expectation. He took you, he planted you, he's aware of what's happening around you, and yet he still expects to grow like a tree. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We have a little creek by our house, and man, it's so nice. And just sitting there, I can sit on my porch, and I can, when it after it rains, I can hear it rushing. It's not a big creek, but you can hear it, and it's nice. It brings a lot of life to the area. All of a sudden, you'll see a shadow, and a big bird flies over, and then you look up, and the bird is a little behind the shadow. And there's a great blue heron flying across, big wings flapping. It brings life, the river does. God planted you in a circumstance, in a place, not absolved from the ability to grow. Now, certainly there are circumstances that make it maybe a little harder. You might have to push through some difficult ground, but you've been planted there. God makes no mistakes. He has never made a mistake. Your life is not a mistake. 2 Samuel chapter 22. The blessed man, he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The man was planted. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. Once you see it, you'll be familiar with it. 2 Samuel 22, 31 says, as for God, his way is perfect. Take your pen out and underline that. The word of the Lord is tried. That means it's been proven. It's been tested. And it comes out winning. It's been tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. God's ways are perfect. God makes no mistakes. For the last couple weeks, I've had some very disheartening conversations with parents, with young people that feel like this world would be better without them. That's a lie of the devil. Because you've been planted. There are difficult situations. I understand that. But God makes no mistakes. And His way is perfect. And I know it's hard. And I know sometimes it's difficult. But you've been planted there on purpose. I talk to some adults and they say it in passing. And it breaks my heart to hear such harsh words about themselves. Please remember that God makes no mistakes. You know, Isaiah 55, familiar verses. Isaiah 55. I know in life there's times when you may feel helpless, hopeless, without direction. Keep trying to grow. You might just have to push through a difficult spot, and then you'll be like that tree planted by the river of water. Isaiah 55, verse 8 says, this is speaking of God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Please remember, God makes no mistakes. When you look at the circumstance or the situation and go, this isn't right. I think God made a mistake. Please back up and realize that you don't see things the way He sees things. I've been trying to help Sam with his pre-calculus. That's not easy. And we're looking at the problem and going, there's a problem with the problem. No, there's a problem with trying to find the solution. But there is a solution. And sometimes we come to God and say, God, you've made an error. And God just says, no, you just don't understand. Nor, listen, will you ever until you get to the other side. You've been planted here on purpose. I can't say it enough. God makes no mistakes. Not only was that blessed man planted, look at now, he was purchased. Sarah came home yesterday. She opened up the van door and she's like, look what I got. Sure enough, she went and bought plants. Because that's what we do at our house. We don't grow from seeds. We let the farmer grow from seeds, and we take the well-established, healthy plants, and we take them, and we put them in the ground. Because we don't have greenhouses, and our plot of land is this big. So, look at what I bought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How did that tree get planted there? It was purchased. It was purchased. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've been purchased. Say, oh, that makes me feel lesser. Actually, not at all. That makes me feel wanted. We went to, you go to the flower store, and what do? You look for the pretty ones. You look for the blossoming ones. You look for the ones that, for some reason, I don't know what God saw in us, but He said, I'll take that one and that one. I'll take them all, actually. Please know that you are wanted. Not only wanted, but needed. There's a difference. God looks at you and He says, you are of value to me. How do you know that? Because look at what it cost Him to get you. His only begotten Son. The blessed man not only was planted, but that blessed man was purchased. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. You take a society and you remove the thought that they are precious in the eyes of God. There is no purpose. There is no direction. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Hey, God didn't show up with His checkbook. From your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how He purchased you. You want to talk about value? And we've said this multiple times. I've preached this so many times. But what is something worth? It's worth what someone would be willing to pay for it. That's what determines value. Right now, go to Lowe's. If I told you 2 years ago, hey, we're going to charge you $8 for a 2x4, you're saying, I ain't paying that. Yeah. Well, now you are. What changed? Oh, the quality of the wood. No better. Worse. You can actually go around corners with this wood now. What determined? How much is that 2x4 worth? Whatever someone's willing to pay for it. How much are you worth? What is someone willing to pay for? God says, I'll send my only Son. Please understand, not only were you planted in a specific spot for a specific purpose, but you were purchased at a very high cost. Every now and then, maybe in between seasons, we go through the kids' rooms and, you know, we get rid of stuff. Some things have great value, maybe sentimental value. Maybe it's just a little figurine, something that was purchased, we don't know where. It says made in China on the bottom, you know. But it came from this person. Therefore, that thing has greater value. Almost what we would say is invaluable. Because it's so precious to us. There's no cost. This came from my grandmother or grandfather. Maybe you received a ring or a necklace or something of maybe monetarily value, but sentimental value so high. What would you give? What would you sell that to me for? There's no price. It's not for sale. Because it can't be replaced. It couldn't be. That's how God sees you. I want that soul. How much? It's not for sale. It's too high a value. And that's you and me. That's the blessed man that He's planted by the river of water on purpose with a plan. But He has an expectation. He expects something when He comes to that tree. He expects it to grow. We planted a garden with the expectation of not pretty foliage. We want fruit, vegetables, tomatoes. We want jalapeno peppers. We want tomatillos. We want poblanos because we make stuff. And we like that. Although the plants are nice, Joe's growing strawberries. Joe, you growing strawberries still? Joe's got a strawberry plant. And he was out checking it yesterday, or maybe this morning, I forget. And we're excited. There's a lot of things on there. We're not excited about the plant. We're excited about the fruit. And although the process is exciting and we're excited to watch these cucumber plants go up the lattice to see if it even works, we're excited about summer night, cucumber, fresh cucumber salad, olive oil, maybe even some green olives in there. I don't know. Say, I don't like olives. Well, that's why you ate at your house, I eat in my house. What do we want? We want fruit. Why did God plant a tree by the rivers of water? Because he had an expectation. Fruit. He is looking for fruit. Galatians chapter 5. The blessed man. He is like a tree planted. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What is God looking for in your life? Love, joy, peace. I think the older I get, the more I see of what has more value than when I was younger. Because you get to see things start to play out over time. I think it's a blessing to have your life in order. I think God blesses that. But I can tell you, there's some Christian souls that I've met that don't have everything all T's crossed, I's dotted, but have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it makes me desire what they have. The more I go, the more I see the value in those things, and the less I see in value of even what the best that this world has to offer. At the end of the day, what is really important is, what does God want in our life? And how much effort are we giving through the Holy Spirit working from the inside out to produce these things? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for fruit. It said there, by the rivers of water. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Just a couple more thoughts here tonight. Air just kicked on, so a few of you should wake back up in a second. Maybe I'll just clap. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You know, this morning we were talking about Pilate, how he was trying to wash his hands of the sin. But there's a washing here that does cleanse us. It's through the word of God. And it actually takes something that is quite common and cleans it up and makes it so even the master would want to use it. The word is sanctify. And that's what happens when, as we're by the rivers of water. I want to turn over to John chapter 15 and we'll read a few verses here. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1. God says, Jesus Christ says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth, look at now, more fruit. Hey, if you're bringing out fruit, if you're exhibiting joy and love and all of that, you know what he's going to do? He's actually going to come by and he's going to trim it back. So why? Because he wants not just fruit, he even wants more fruit. That's good to know. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Kind of goes hand in hand with that Ephesians 5. It says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. What brings fruit? It takes time. This morning I went out and it was a beautiful morning this morning. I was sitting outside for a few moments early this morning and the plants looked no different than they did last night. No little creepers going up on the lattice. Actually, I think something got to our lettuce that we planted last night. I think we have a chipmunk. Growing takes time. Producing fruit takes time. It's not just boom. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes cultivation. God recognizes that. God's in for the long haul with you and I. He's in it till it's over. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, look at now, much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Hey, let's remember that tonight as we're going about and we're trying to, as hard as we will, manufacture love and joy and peace. Do you understand? In our own, it will be so tainted. It will be so selfish. But through the Holy Spirit and Christ, he says, there's fruit that I actually want. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at now. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Why would he plant a tree by the rivers of water? Because he has an expectation out of our life. Fruit. That's what he's looking for. Fruit. Much fruit. And it says this, so shall ye be my disciples. The blessed man was planted. The blessed man was purchased. The blessed man was productive. Lastly, Psalm chapter 126. What makes a good tree? As we were getting the soil ready, I was raking and girls, I think it was Sophie, was helping. And something was growing. I didn't know if it was a weed or not, so I pulled it. And sure enough, about 3 inches underneath, it was not a weed. It was a walnut that had a good-sized sprout grown out of it. We are going to have a tree right in the middle of our garden. The tree was reproducing itself. It was going to be profitable. Because a man that is planted, recognizing that he's purchased, is producing things, will then become profitable when it replicates itself. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. That group that we just worked with in making of the scriptures, what is the group called? Bearing precious seed. That's what it is. We're taking the seeds from the productivity and planting them over again. Replicating ourselves in somebody else. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He turns into something that is profitable because he's been reproduced. into something that also produces fruit. So, just in conclusion here, the Bible says that it is blessed for the man to be planted by the rivers of water, recognizing that he's been purchased, understanding that God has an expectation that he produce something, and in that production, what happens? He reproduces himself. He takes the character traits and the things that he has learned, and he invests it in somebody else. And then that becomes profitable, because then they go and do the same thing. Go back with me to Psalm chapter 1. The blessed man tonight. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, look at, shall prosper. There's a profit to it. I ask that you look at your life tonight. Have you been trying to get out from your circumstance, thinking that somehow God has made a mistake in your life? He planted me in the wrong place. I ought to have been. This has been difficult. This is hard. This is not how I would have planned it. Are you trying to uproot yourself, thinking that maybe God has made a mistake in some way? Have you failed to remember that you are wanted, needed, and valued by the God of heaven as he has purchased you? And then he has an expectation. It is not to just, I saw Mr. Naparello this morning. I'm like, how are you doing this morning, brother? He goes, I'm breathing. Great. It is proven that people that breathe live longer. Guaranteed. I'm not even a doctor, brother. I know. Is that God's intention for us? Just to maintain life? No. He has an expectation to bear fruit. And not just bear fruit, but to become profitable as we reproduce. I ask that you look at your own life. Does God, as he comes by your tree, is there fruit on the tree? So I've been working really hard. Stop trying to do it by yourself. You need, unless the branch abide in the vine. For without Christ, ye can do nothing. And who are you reproducing in? Who are you replicating yourself into? Is there somebody that can say, he's teaching me, she's teaching me, she's helping me, he's helping me along the way? That's the blessed man. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.